It's not enough that just living life can drain the life out of you. But most of us want to say things and do things and believe things that on top of everything else, sap us dry. Why is that? Hi, I'm Bertie Diamond and welcome again to A Different Perspective as we chat about the times of refreshing that God has in store for you. And please do stick with me, because at the end of today's message, I'll be telling you about our latest life application booklet called Turning Mistakes into Miracles. I'd love to send you a free copy to help you lay hold of the powerful new things that God wants to do in your life this year. I don't know how you feel, but by the time I get to the end of a year, I'm pretty much exhausted. You look back on the year and it's had its ups and downs. Every year does. Some year there are more ups. Other years there are more downs. And whether we live a nomadic existence in a tent in sub-Saharan Africa, as some of the people listening to today's program do, or whether you're a stay-at-home mother with a young baby in Middletown, Connecticut, USA, or whether you're a business person living out a hectic life in Tokyo, wherever you are, whatever life you're living, just the living of that life can drain the life out of you. When the outflow exceeds the inflow, we end up running dry. We're going to talk about that a bit more on the program next week. But there's something else that can make us run even drier. Something else that we do, something that we have under our control, that if we don't deal with it, it'll exacerbate the problem. I wonder what that might be. What is it that you and I do that, in addition to everything else that life throws at us, drains us of life itself? That's what we're going to be talking about on the program today. Yesterday, I shared with you the story of the apostles Peter and John. It was a very ordinary day. They were heading up to the temple to pray, and God did the most amazing miracle. God healed a man who'd been lame since birth, begging at the temple. He healed this man so he could walk through Peter and John. Now, Acts chapter 3 comes just after the resurrection of Jesus and he ascends into heaven, and people are still trying to figure out what happened. What was it all about? It was a tumultuous few weeks, about 7 weeks, between when Jesus was nailed on the cross and now this story here in Acts chapter 3. It's about to be the harvest festival of Pentecost, 7 full weeks after the Passover festival when Jesus was executed. Jesus has ascended into heaven, and it seems like he's kind of, packed his bags and headed off. People are wondering, so now what? It's a bit like this time after Christmas. So what was that all about? And where's this all going? So let's go back to that story for a moment, because Peter goes on to speak to the witnesses who saw this man healed. Remember, he's been lame since birth. He's over 40. Everyone knows him. Everyone's seen him begging every day at the temple. And now this guy's up walking and leaping and praising God. And the people, well, rightly, they're astounded. This is a pretty amazing miracle. And Peter the Apostle uses that miracle to explain what's been going on these last few weeks. Let's pick it up just after the miracle and see what Peter has to say. It's something amazing and it's powerful, and it's something I believe God wants you and me to hear today, something that's going to bring some refreshing into our lives. All the people saw this guy walking and leaping and praising God, and they recognized him as the one who used to sit and beg outside the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While he clung to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's Portico, utterly astonished. When Peter saw it, he addressed the people, "You Israelites, why do you wonder at this? Why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our ancestors has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and rejected him in the presence of Pilate, though Pilate had decided to release him. No, you rejected the holy and righteous one and asked to have a murderer given to you instead, and you killed the author of life whom God raised from the dead. To this, we are witnesses. And yet by faith in his name itself has made this man strong, whom you see and know, and the faith that is through Jesus has given him his perfect health in the presence of us all. And now, my friends, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. In this way, God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, that the Messiah would have to suffer. Repent, therefore, and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah appointed for you, that is, Jesus. So he's talking here to the very same crowds that just 7 weeks earlier had been shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him." Back then, they'd been whipped up into a frenzy by the religious leaders who hated Jesus. Back then, they'd seen Jesus crucified, dead, done, that's it. Then Jesus rises from the dead. Then he ascends into heaven. And now this amazing miracle that they've all seen. And Peter's saying to them, do you realize this Jesus whom you crucified, the one who you thought back then would be dead as a dodo, do you realize that this miracle is from him? He's the one that's performed this miracle, not us, not Peter, not John, but Jesus. You killed him. You rejected him. You despised him. But you did it in ignorance. And now it's time for you to have your eyes open to his power. That's why Jesus called on Peter and John to be part of healing that beggar that day. He wanted to explain all that had gone on. He wanted people to get what this whole Jesus thing was about. So what is it about? What was the explanation? Well, Peter talks about forgiveness. Peter isn't some religious nut pouring wrath out on these people who rejected Jesus. Ignorance, he says. You were ignorant. And that cut them to their heart. So now what? Repent, therefore, and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send you the Messiah appointed for you, that is, Jesus. Turn away from your sins. Sins are the things we know are wrong, but we do them anyway. That's what drains the life out of us. Selfishness ruins relationship. It drains the life out of us. Dishonesty and greed and malice and anger and resentment, all that stuff. Do you realize those things have consequences? They drain the life out of us. Oh, but I'm entitled to be angry with that person. Well, maybe you are, but it's going to drain the life out of you. There are things that you and I do in our lives that maybe make sense in the world's eyes. Maybe that's what everyone else does and how everybody else lives their lives. But it drains us and robs us of life. And as we stand on the cusp between 2 years, the old and the new, I wonder whether it isn't time to be honest about that. To take Peter's words to heart. He's talking about a miracle-working God. He's talking about a God that would change things in us that have been with us from birth, like the lameness of that beggar. Repent, therefore, and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Turn away from that rubbish. Turn back to God with your whole life. Let the slate be wiped clean and experience the times of refreshing that come from being close to God, from living consciously in his presence. You and I know things that we stubbornly hang on to that drain the life out of us. Anger between a husband and wife. Repent. Forgive, come back to God, live it his way, and the fruit of that, the benefit of that, the thing that that gives us is refreshing. I wonder how many people today are listening who desperately, desperately need a time of refreshing and yet still stubbornly hang on to their sin. It's one or the other, you can't have both. In the middle of the ordinary, the mundane, the unfair even, right in the middle of life, so often God's defining moments appear, seemingly small and insignificant things that change the course of our lives, and it's so easy for us to miss them. That's why I'd love to send you a free copy of our latest life application booklet. It's called Turning Mistakes into Miracles. It's all about helping you to lay hold of the powerful new things that God wants to do in your life this year. In fact, at the end of each chapter, you'll find some life application questions to help you think through and apply God's word right into the middle of your life. To request your free copy, stop by at christianityworks.com and you'll see that free offer right there towards the top of the homepage. Click on it, pop in your name and email, and that e-booklet will be on its way to your inbox in just seconds. That web address again is christianityworks.com. Hey, thanks so much for joining me. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again same time tomorrow with a different perspective.